This is Who's Talkin' on Fox Sports 910. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former Wahoo basketball standout Jim Hobbo Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes of UVA sports with all-star interviews and unique insight that only Frank and Hobbo can provide. Who's Talkin' is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, LeClaire Ryan Law, TGI Fridays, Town Bank of Richmond, TheSaber.com, Richmond Allergy and Asthma Specialists, Hildrup Moving and Storage, Kelleher Heating and Air, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, Lemaire Restaurant at the Jefferson Hotel, Holly Martin Partners, and West Hampton Cleaners, with special contributions from Sarge Reynolds and Buford Scott. Now, Who's Talking is on Fox Sports 910. Here's Frank and Hobbo.
Welcome to Who's Talking on an unseasonably warm night here in sunny, bright, good to be in Richmond, Virginia. Hobbo?
Yes. Spring-like. Very nice. You know, I mean, it was only a few weeks ago. We were fighting the snow, and hopefully the snow is over at least for this year. But, yeah, we're looking forward to springtime. ACC tournament often gives you visions of spring, and there's a little spring in the step of the Wahoos today based upon what happened Saturday night. Great atmosphere at JPJ. If you're out there listening and you were at the game, it was a special evening. And a terrific outcome for the Hoos. Again, Carolina's really good. I mean, they just have so much talent.
But they're not good enough.
Well, they weren't on Saturday night. You know, I'm sure they, you know, we don't want to be, we want to be gracious winners because we may see them again in Washington. I'd love to see them again in Houston is where I'd like to see them again.
I'd like to see them farther down the line as possible.
Well, Houston's the end of the road. That's where the Final Four ends.
We might have to thumb our way out there, but we'll find a way to get there, right?
If the Hoos are there, we're going to have to think about that.
All right, we got a big show tonight. Very excited to have University of Virginia Athletics Director Craig Littlepage joining us here in the first half hour. And then at the bottom of the hour, we have good friend Jimmy Miller joining us. He matriculated to the university as I graduated, and
he finished at 85.
Yeah, terrific basketball player, very heady, kind of like Hobbo.
He's going by Jim Miller now. When do you cease to be Jimmy? Is that like age 40?
You cease to be Jimmy Miller and you become
Jim Miller?
For those of us at Virginia, he'll always
be Jimmy Miller.
Jimmy Miller from Princeton, West Virginia.
Yeah, that's a good place to be from.
And, you know, let's talk about the game real quick as we prepare to receive a call from Craig Littlepage. You know, the Wahoos demonstrated a number of things on Saturday night. Number one, the fan base really has nothing that they could ever frown about after the way Virginia played on Saturday night. That is basketball at its best. The atmosphere, thanks to the students and the alumni and the diehard Wahoo fans at JPJ, it was raucous, it was loud, it was intimidating. Just ask Bryce Johnson. He threw probably the highest outside cross-court pass I think I've ever seen at JPJ.
Yeah, I thought it had a chance to make the suite level there.
He almost threw it right into Virginia Sports Properties. I mean, wow. That ball was up there.
Who's the football coach down there? Fiodora? He's probably looking at Bryce as being a quarterback next year.
You know? He says, boy,
he's got a strong arm.
Got a good arm there. But
maybe overthrow a little bit, though. He needs to have a little touch on that ball. But, no, I mean, you know, you're right. It's a great atmosphere. And if you're a college basketball player, that's the reason you go to college to play at a Division I school at one of the power conferences, a chance to play in a game like that in front of a crowd like that where you're playing the best that college basketball has to offer in North Carolina, you know, the storied program. And, man, did Malcolm Brogdon show up. You know, I can announce today, as one who has a vote, he will be my player of the year, and I will also vote for him as the defensive player of the year. And to my knowledge, if that were to happen, I don't think that's ever happened before, where somebody became player of the year and defensive player of the year in the same year.
And I can announce that I would vote the same way. Let's point out that today Malcolm Brogdon was named ACC Player of the Week. It's very exciting for him to do that this late in the year.
I think he just was Player of the Week a couple of weeks ago, too.
3 weeks ago. But yeah. This, I think, was a tour de force. The way he played at Miami, he literally carried Virginia through that game and gave Virginia a chance. I don't think any of the supporting cast played anything like they're capable of. But you know what? They showed up Saturday night, and if you're going to win a game, to beat North Carolina is a big deal. And I thought Devin Hall – Isaiah Wilkins. I thought Anthony Gill, London Perantes, most of the time, they played at an exceptionally high level. And they exposed weaknesses in North Carolina's defense, which let's you know, call it what it is. It's a very good defense. They're long. They're quick. They block shots.
Yeah, they're big. They're athletic. You know, Carolina does not play defense the way they did in the Dean Smith years. But, you know, Duke doesn't play defense the way they did either 15, 20 years ago. So it's just a different – you know, the only team that plays like Duke and Carolina used to play is Virginia. They play on the defensive end. And one of the keys, I think, in the recent weeks, not only has been Devin Hall, but Isaiah Wilkins, his emergence – as a guy who can contribute some points on the offensive end, but I think he really has become a force on the defensive end. Is he Darian Atkins yet? No, but he's getting there. I think by the time he's a senior, he will be Darian Atkins and Akeel Mitchell. So that's something to look forward to.
You know, I think you make a good point. I don't think we saw this coming from Isaiah Wilkins, although I always thought Isaiah Wilkins would be a terrific contributor. I just didn't think it would be the way it is. He was 3 of 7 the other night. 2 for 2 from free throw line. He had 5 rebounds, 4 on the defensive end. He also essentially got another rebound by fighting down low late in the game. And
kept the ball alive, and it became Virginia possession at a key moment where they could use another 30 seconds on the clock.
Tar Heels fumbled the ball out of bounds, and that was due to the pressure that Wilkins gave. In addition, he had an assist. He had a blocked shot. He had 2 steals. That's a pretty healthy line for a guy playing 30 minutes.
And most of the evening, he was assigned to Bryce Johnson. So he was a factor in keeping Bryce Johnson under control, where Bryce only had 12 points. And in many games this year, Bryce Johnson has been a dominant player where he's scoring 20, 30 points. So that was a key, keeping him under control.
And Bryce Johnson was the next Tar Heel up in the North Carolina media blitz to try to get somebody in the competition for player of the year. And, you know, I would say that Malcolm Brogdon, with his 26 points head-to-head and keeping Bryce Johnson to 12 points, to me, that says it all.
Well, what I'm going to have to do when it comes to ACC Player of the Year, the same thing I'm going to do tomorrow, and that's vote early and often.
Yes, as many times as we can.
You want to introduce Coach Littlepage?
All right, well, we're very excited tonight to have University of Virginia's athletic director, Craig Littlepage. I know he has to be beaming relative to all the good fortune that has occurred up in Charlottesville over the last, particularly the last, you know, 7 to 8 years. Some national championships in a variety of sports, a whole bunch of ACC titles. And, you know, the women's swim team just won their ninth consecutive, an example. And they just put a brand new sign out there at Davenport Field, touting the 2015 national championship team. And, you know, there's a lot to smile about right now. They got a new football coach in Bronco Mendenhall, and Tony Bennett is bucking for Coach of the Year. And who knows, the Wahoos could be a number one seed. So,
yeah, let me ask the guy a question here.
Ask a question.
All right, Coach Craig, first of all, thanks for joining us.
It's good to be with you, Jim.
Hey, you know, the one thing Frank has taught me in the last 7 years, that it's always football season, even though it's really basketball season right now. But I just want to ask you a quick question about the selection of Bronco Mendenhall. How and when did you determine that he was a good fit for the University of Virginia?
During the time that we conducted a face-to-face interview with him, and I want to say it was the Monday following the end of the regular season.
And what about Bronco? What were some of the factors that impressed you to the point where you thought, hey, this guy's going to be Virginia's next football coach?
Well, he is an extremely creative thinker, innovative in his approach. He does a wonderful job in terms of communication and communicating his message, in particular about what his program is and how he will go about implementing it. But I would say that just the track record of success at an institution that has arguably even more restrictions than the University of Virginia does, and doing it against some of the most outstanding football programs in the country on an annual basis. So 11 years of demonstrated success at a program like Brigham Young, with equal levels of success in terms of the academic achievement on the part of their student athletes. Those are just a few things that went into the consideration of him becoming our new coach.
Well, certainly, so far, you know, he has been a very impressive individual. And the thing that impresses me, it seems like Tony Bennett, he has a system that has been successful for him. So hopefully he can do the same thing at Virginia as he's done at Brigham Young. Let me switch back to basketball. I know you're an administrator, but you were a basketball coach for a long time. Talk a little bit. We were talking about Malcolm Brogdon. How good is he, and where does he fit in the history of the University of Virginia basketball program?
Well, he is a complete player in that he plays at both ends of the floor. He can defend probably positions 1, 2, 3, and 4. He also can play inside. He can play outside. He has a distance game. He has a driving game. He can post up. He can run the floor. So, I mean, he does a lot of things. He does a lot of things well. And from that standpoint, he's a complete player. And that is something that you see from Malcolm game in and game out. Where he fits into the broad landscape of University of Virginia history, clearly he's got to be among the top X number of players. I don't know if that's 10 players or if it's fewer than that, but based on the last 3 years in particular, not only what he has done, but I think most specifically what he has done against the kind of talent that we have played throughout the course of those years. He's just an exceptional player and certainly a young man that has just a bright, bright future ahead of him.
We are speaking with Craig Littlepage tonight. Craig, this is Frank. Welcome to Who's Talking. And, you know, going back to your days as an assistant under T. Holland and then later as a head coach at Penn and then Rutgers, I wonder sometimes when you're watching this team or last year's team or the year before that, do you see any parallels from your days, you know, as a coach under Coach Holland? And do you see anything that's similar? And if so, what are those things?
The game itself is much different, so I'll start with that. But the types of things that made many of the University of Virginia teams under Terry Holland successful, stingy defense, physical defense, position defense, are things that I think that you see as part of the pack line defense that Tony has incorporated into his program. I think also patience and value of the basketball on the offensive end.
Yes.
Spreading the ball around. And, you know, even with the success that Malcolm has had offensively and in his most recent stretch of games, this is a team that I believe isn't reliant on one player having to do it all. But again, I mean, he has been outstanding in the first half that he had against North Carolina the other day. It was a clinic in terms of what he did offensively. But you know, Malcolm is just a wonderful player. He plays within the system, although he could do a lot more, and many times he defers to his teammates because that's a part of the program that is to spread the ball around and to not be predictable. And we do that a lot more times than we don't. Sometimes we are challenged to get that third or fourth weapon offensively. But I think that the defensive theory and the offensive theory could be things that are very similar to some of Terry Holland's best teams.
You know, Craig, what I really like about him, not only is he a complete player, he's a complete student athlete. You know, he's going to leave Virginia with 2 degrees this spring, lives on the range, and I think he's just a great ambassador for for the University of Virginia and its program. But let me ask you before we let you go. Just looking ahead from your administrator standpoint, what are some of the changes and or challenges that lie ahead for college athletics from your perspective?
The one topic that is on everybody's mind right now is the time demands that are placed on student athletes in terms of in-season and out-of-season activities, what it is that they do over the course of the summer, what it is that might be required and or expected. And there's a great national dialogue going on about that and how we put together a legislative package that meets the needs of the welfare of the student athletes and at the same time does allow for the student athletes that want more time with their coaches or want more time in the weight room or in conditioning to be able to have that time. We have a lot of student athletes that want to excel to the extent that they want to be prospects for Olympic teams and national teams and so forth. And they may feel as though they need a little bit more time in the weight room or a little bit more time with a coach, that sort of thing, and enabling them to be in the best position to do so. So all those things that relate to the time demands on the student athletes are going to, in this next 12 months or so, be very important things. And the membership, the NCAA membership, has committed itself to coming up with a slate of proposals that will find that sweet spot in the balance between the student athlete and the institutional needs, the coaches' needs, et cetera. The other thing is just the continuing struggle that many schools are having to be able to marshal the resources mm-hmm. to provide those additional things that now new legislation has allowed for us to provide. Whether it's the unlimited meals, the cost of attendance, new things coming down the pike related to expanded opportunities to pay expenses of family members on official visits. New legislation allows for us to make available for purchase by the student athletes tickets for NCAA championship events. So there are a lot of things that are already being done, and we've adapted to that pretty well at the University of Virginia, but then there are going to be a number of things that are coming down in the future that will continue to expand the permissible expenses that are provided to student athletes.
Craig, one question I always wondered about, what sort of things or positives do you derive at the end of the day, the end of the year, the end of potentially your career as the AD? What do you pull away and say, you know, that's what I'm most proud of having served the University of Virginia?
I would say probably the thought of having a good program in 2001 that has ascended to being a great program in now 2016. And when you look at mm-hmm. the ways in which the program has been enhanced in terms of fully funding scholarships, in terms of building unbelievable facilities, in terms of being able to attract and retain incredible head coaches and coaching staffs, more generally speaking. I would say that those things are, in my mind, in terms of how far the program has come. And there's still a lot of work to do. There's no doubt about that. And we're up to the challenge of what the future is going to bring. But from 2001 until 2016, I think that our program has grown. It's become one of the top five or six programs in the country on an annual basis, at least on the basis of the Director's Cup, which many people do point to as being kind of a gold standard for measuring an athletics program. But we're not pleased, or we're not satisfied with being in the top five or six. We want to be number one in the country, and that's the goal. So we have a lot of people to thank, donors and friends of the university, our student athletes and coaches, and others around the university community. But again, there's a lot more work that we want to get done, and we don't want to stop until we're the number one program in the country.
Craig, hear, hear for all of that. And I know all Virginia donors and fans appreciate everything that you've done. I know that Bronco Mendenhall kind of put you back in the spotlight when he talked about a new football dedicated facility for the coaching staff and everything. What sort of timeline might that be?
Well, there's no timeline right now, and he responded to a question about some of the things that he felt as though would be valuable to the long-term success of the program. And he mentioned that as one thing that would be a tremendous demonstration of an institution's commitment to its football program. But we're focused right now on the things that we have and making sure that they're as good as they can be. The things that we have right now, how can we make them better? And the discussion about a future facility, it'll happen in due course, but we're just focused on making sure that everything that we have right now is first class, improving the things that we have right now, and we'll get to some of the other needs down the road.
Well, one thing the University of Virginia has is a first-class athletic director. So, Craig, congratulations on your success, both in the last 15 years and who knows, maybe the next 15. I don't know how long you're planning on doing this, but I think all of us appreciate what you've done and the team you've assembled. We do thank you for taking a few minutes to join us tonight, and we'll look forward to maybe seeing you on Saturday night when Louisville comes to town.
Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate the time to be with you.
All right, Athletic Director Craig Littlepage, we're going to go to a break real quick. The next segment may be a little short. Don't forget, second half hour, we've got Jimmy Miller joining us to talk some basketball. You're listening to Who's Talking. Stay tuned.